This is week 4 of our sermon series on the book of Isaiah. Merciful and mighty that we're looking into these Old Testament prophets for the last little bit here at the church and anticipating to learn from God's word. Principles and precepts, ideals, and action steps of how to live our lives. How many is thankful for the Bible? Amen. That the book that we have is unchangeable in itself, but it changes us. So we don't need to change it, we need it to change us. And that takes us allowing that to happen and asking for that to happen and praying for that to happen and reading it to understand what it says about our lives and how we should live them according to God's way. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 46 is where we're going to look at today. Isaiah chapter 46. Just a few short verses here. In our Bible. If you have them on your phone, look up. There you go. Isaiah. Is that some kind of, you got like a foreign language interpreter, right? No need. Yeah, it's still, it sounds cooler when it's, always like listening to some of the preachers on some of the radio stations, you know, with us too, and hearing those with the English accent, it just sounds more profound when we listen to those. Alistair Begg and some of those, that if you've ever listened to them, it's kind of cool. Isaiah chapter 46. Uh-oh, it started. Bible says if blind lead the blind, they both fall in a ditch. So there you go. We got to see that in real life here. So Isaiah 46. Baal bows down. Nebo stoops. Their idols were on the beast and on the cattle. Your carriages were heavily loaded, a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burdens, but they have themselves gone into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Judah, and all the remnants of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? They lavish gold out of the bag. They weigh silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith and he makes it a god. They prostrate themselves. Yes, they worship. They bear also on their shoulder, and they carry it, and they set it in its place, and it stands. From its place it shall not move. Though one cries to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men, recall to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from the anxious times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from the far country, indeed I have spoken it, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, who are far from righteous. I bring my righteousness near, and it shall bear, and it shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the prophet Isaiah and all the words that he's given to us to read and to understand. Lord, we pray that you make them clear to our heart. Lord, that our minds would be receptive today, that our spirit man would be emboldened to trust in your word and lean only to you. And God, I pray for any of us in this place today that has placed anything above you to tear down those things and allow you to take your rightful place at being first and foremost in everything we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as these verses begin in Isaiah 46, the prophet is saying Baal bows down. Bows down to who? He's saying that Nebo stoops. So when the children of Israel had been taken captive and had come under subjection to a foreign power, that a neighboring nation came and took over their nation. When they carried them away, the children of Israel had left God and abandoned God so much so that that's the reason that they're in this predicament anyway. If you want to face God's judgment, you're going to. And his judgment is not a judgment that you want. It's one thing to stand before a court and somebody in a robe and somebody with a gavel that can slam it and put you in the slammer. It's another thing to stand before an almighty God who is righteous and his judgments are true and perfect. Judges that we face today, they may have their own imperfections. I saw some videos of some judges. A while back, I was scrolling through one of the reels, and it come up that there was this judge. She was being pulled over by the cop. And the cop pulled her over because she was swerving. And she was swerving because she had been to a big event for highfalutin people and probably had a little bit too much to drink. So as she was swerving, cop gets behind her, turns the blue lights on. How would you like to be that cop? That you had stood in the courtroom, presented your case many times before this very same person, and you walk up to the window, and when she rolls it down, you're sitting there looking at the judge herself. Ma'am, I'm sorry to pull you over, but you were swerving. I wasn't swerving. Yes, she was. The camera on my dash in my car, it's all recorded. You were swerving. Ma'am, do you care to step out of the car? See, it's one thing to be in the judge's seat when you're the judge, but then when you find yourself on the opposite side of the aisle and there you sit, that now the law itself is calling you into account. She didn't want to get out of the car, and she said, do you know who I am? Yes, ma'am, I do. But that doesn't matter who you are, because the law says you cannot drink and drive. Okay? So he keeps adamant, you're getting out of the car. I don't want to get out of the car. You're getting out of the car. I don't want to get out of the car. You're getting out of the car, and I'm going to have to take you out of the car if you won't get out of the car, and then you're going to be under arrest automatically. Okay, I'll get out of the car. She gets out of the car, and he puts her through the steps, you know, stand there like this and hold your foot up and bring her over here. And she's doing like I done just now. I had too much coffee, sorry. A little tipsy. And he literally has to put the judge herself in custody, handcuff the judge, put her in the back seat of his car, take her to jail, place her in the jail, in the tank. Think about this. This is the person in the black robe that's sitting on the seat, making judgments of others, now finding herself culpable. She's under the same rule as everybody else. So you can look around this room. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It don't matter how little money you have. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It makes no difference, any of those things. Male, female, all that makes no difference. We are equals as humans. And the key to that is, the sooner we would understand that we're all fallible. Look at your neighbor and say, you look like a mess. Leslie always says it's a hot mess. I don't know, Chuck. You look like a hot mess today. I'm just saying. I'm using Leslie's terms. I don't know the difference in a mess and a hot mess, but apparently there's a difference. Hairspray. Okay, that's better. Okay, well, now I understand. I got that down. But can you see that there is one? It is one thing to judge according to standards, according to law, according to principles, according to what you know and understand when you're clear-headed. But I can attest to you today that I'm pretty confident that that woman didn't use good judgment as a judge when she went to the party, did what she did, and then decided, I'm going to drive myself home because I am who I am. And I wear a black robe and I'll do whatever I want. And that sounds all well and good until what? Until you come face to face with the law. The judgment of God needs to scare us to death. As human beings, we should be afraid and fear God, which is Solomon's take that Rick said that I skipped that piece when we done the Solomon series a while back. Fear God, keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. If you want to do anything, fear God, keep His commandments. It's pretty simple. But the children of Israel had not done so. Solomon, next thing you know, Solomon perishes, goes away. Rehoboam, Jeroboam, the two kingdoms split apart. The children of Israel forget who God is. They abandon Him. They, like this verse says, they take their gold, they take their silver, they'll weigh it, they'll take it down to the goldsmith, and they'll have them to create themselves a little god out of gold. And sometimes I wonder if we, as Christians today, don't make ourselves graven images and idols that can't be held with hands, but is held right in here. That my thoughts or my opinion takes precedence over God. Because if His Word says something that is factual and absolute and unchanging, but they don't meet my opinion, now I'm going to change God's Word because my opinion takes precedence over Him. You know what that is? That's an idol. That's placing God below what you want. And we cannot do that. So Isaiah finds himself as a prophet of God, prophesying to the children of Israel, saying, God is God, and you are not. Leslie done a song a few years ago that we sang here at church, and just playing song, and next thing you know, she starts singing the word, and that was the words. You're God, and I am not. That needs to be our mantra. That needs to be our banner. That needs to be our song. Because when we say that we are not God, we're placing Him in the position that He rightly deserves to be because He is God. We are not. So these idols that we portray, that we put up, that we do these things, because we'll find ourselves kind of like that woman, the judge. You know who I am? You know what position I hold? You know what title I have? You know how many degrees I have? When we come in comparison with God, what does that matter? All these things, these temporal things on this earth that we place high regard and high value on means nothing in the grand scheme of things. And it's scary for a sinner to fall into the hands of an angry God was the greatest sermon probably ever preached that most people say, other than Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, of course. Because sinners falling in the hands of an angry God, it's not going to be a good place to be. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and we have a choice to make. But the children of Israel had decided they wanted these gold trinkets more than they wanted anything else. So even when they was led away captive, think about this. even when they was taken into slavery, that the neighboring nation, let's say Mexico comes in and takes us over. Mexico and Canada joins forces and comes to America and takes over America. And they come in and tell you, load your car up because we're going to take you back and we're taking your house and we're going to live in it and we're sending you back to our home country. So you end up down in Tijuana. Is that a safe place? Anybody been there lately? You don't want to go there and have your wallet hanging out your pocket, right? There's people down there with weapons, super crazy stuff. Don't want to drink the water either. But you find yourself taken away captive, and the thing you have to decide at that moment when you're taken away captive, you have to decide, I want to take the important things, Rick. I want to take the important things with me. I'm getting took away captive, so in my captivity, I still need this. Think about this. That Isaiah the prophet is saying here in these verses in 46, chapter 46, that they took Baal with them. Their car was not a vehicle that we know as a vehicle today. It was a ox. It was some other animal that they took. And they burdened these animals down with Baal and Nebo. The thing that's most important to me, Dusty, is to take this gold trinket that I have worshipped as being God, and it's more important to me than anything, even though I'm being laid away in captivity. You talk about a crazy mindset. How in the world did we find ourselves in a position where that we've worshipped something so long, we know it's wrong, our heart is burdened with the conscience? Amen? You're born with the conscience. You know right from wrong. Do we not? At an early age, you don't have to teach your kids to do bad things. They choose to do them. You don't have to train them and say, here, I'm going to equip you to do some bad stuff. Did you have to do that? Did you have to tell them, here, I'll show you how? No. They do it on their own. It's kindly born into us that we know right from wrong. Why? Because Adam and Eve learned that at the knowledge of tree of good and evil. But humans are stupid. Can I say that? Is that okay, Chris? Can I declare that humans are stupid? Now, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I think he's talking about me. I think he's talking, I think I'm talking about you. Say, I think he's talking about me. That we worship stupid things. That we think our bank account is what matters. We think our 401k is what's going to save us. We think retirement's going to be this glorious splendor thing. And I talk to people that retire all the time, and they're like, it ain't what it cracked up to be. You know why? Because I'm old, Chuck. My knees hurt. My back hurts. I can't go on the fishing trips that I thought I was going to when I retired. So we've got our whole mindset and our whole life. And really, a lot of Americans have a mindset and believe that retirement, it's a god to us. Amen. How many looks forward to retiring? Let's do it this way. How many looks forward to retiring? Mom's sitting back there. She's already retired, and she's retiring again, I guess. I don't know. She had her hands up. Got 5 years left. We count them down, don't we? We spend a lot of time preparing for it. We watch the stock market and say, you know, calling John Hancock and saying, well, I've got this much in there, Chuck, and I need you to put that in a more secure type of fund. I don't want that to be in that one that's high risk so that I got a chance of losing it because I got to protect my little precious. Am I not telling the truth? And we're protecting this little money bag like it's going to be our savior. And I can read enough history, Dusty, to know that that's not the case. Because people in 1860 thought they were standing up to rebel against the nation because they thought they were right. They had a precious little keepsake that they didn't want to give up. And what happened? Civil War breaks out. And what's your dollar worth now? You think that can't happen again? Do we think history won't repeat itself? We're foolish if we don't believe that. If the children of Israel, we can read this book, Isaiah 46, that God let his own children, the nation of Israel, the one whom he loves, the apple of his eye, he lets them be carried away captive into a foreign country. And they're packing these bunch of stupid trinkets with them. Can you imagine God's heart being broken? These are my kids, Abraham. I have blessed you. I've called you a nation. I spoke these things into existence. You didn't even have a land, Abraham, and I gave you this land. And God looking down and telling Isaiah and Jeremiah, go prophesy to them. Tell them I'm coming and you're leaving for 70 years because it's a penalty for your stupidity. And the children of Israel get nervous, and when the captives come and take them, the captors, not the captives, the captors, right? I got to get this right. I don't want anybody being missed. Yeah, I don't want you to take my words out of context and all this stuff. The captors come and take them, Ammon. What are we going to do when you end up in handcuffs? Yeah, but don't you know who I am? Don't you know my title? Don't you know all these degrees I have and all these things I've done? Do you not know when my captives come? They don't care. They do not care. Because all they're looking at is a subject. And the subject is, you're all going in handcuffs, and you're all going with me, and I'm taking you back home as a slave. I don't want this. I don't desire this. But God is saying from heaven and telling the prophet Isaiah, I am a God of justice. And sin brings about what? What is the wages of sin? Does death mean dying? Or does death mean decay and a continual process of living in death? You don't have to die to suffer death. Death is happening every day the older you get. That's why your knees does hurt. That's why your back does hurt. That's why your hips are out of socket. That's why these things happen, because death is a process that is happening. And our sin brings about death. Partake of this tree and you'll die. The serpent says, no, you won't. God's lying. No, you won't. No, you won't. You're not going to die. Go ahead and eat of the tree. See what happens, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve eats of the tree. Did they die? Did they die that day? No, they lived on, didn't they? But they begin to suffer death. Because now the ground don't just produce fruit. You have to go out and by the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat, because you're going to have to till that ground. You're going to have to plant. You're going to have to do all these things. Thorns and thistles come up and choke out the plants and all this stuff. Death began to happen because of their choice. So sometimes our mindset is wages of sin is death. We only think about it at the judgment seat of Christ. But what if it happens in this life? What if God's judgment is happening now? Have you ever thought about these things? Have you pondered this? My choices has a reaction from God. And he's not saying you don't have a choice. He's saying there's consequences coming. Amen. So sin brings death. And we don't like that as humans. We don't want to suffer death. We don't want to die. We're afraid of it. But God says that's the case. It is the consequence for sin. So what do we need to do? Lay aside these weights and sins that does so easily beset us, is what Hebrews says. Let us run this race with patience. So as this is happening, Isaiah's telling them, Baal bows down, Nebo stoops. And what he was saying was, he was watching. This was the prophet of God that had prophesied, you're leaving the country, you're going to be led away captive. And as this is happening, he watches them load their animals down with these stupid trinkets, And they're carrying them away. And as they're walking along, and can you imagine that big old oxen heading down through there, walking like this, and got a long journey ahead of them. And they're being led by the captors. And as they're being marched along, the trinkets that they had tied on the back because they thought that's what was precious begins to stoop, begins to fall over. And that's a judgment of God. Because the things you think are important, He will cast them low because He's the only one that can sit on the throne. The reason Lucifer fell like lightning from heaven is because he said, I will sit on your throne. And God said, no, you won't. No, thank you. Know your place. Amen. So we in this house today have to decide, am I going to figure out, am I going to live for God or am I not? Am I going to suffer for my sin because I've got these idols that I've placed in preference over God and thinking I won't pay a consequence? It's scary. Because sometimes we expect more of others than we expect of ourselves. That's where he says, you know, judge not lest you be judged. For the same measurement that you judge, Jesus is saying in his wonderful Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, he's telling them, judge not lest you be judged. But then he goes on and tells them, you know, you see your brother with something in his eye, and you've got a 2x4 hanging out of your head. He says, first, take the 2x4 out of your eye so you can help your brother with the mote in his eye. Judgment is still happening. He uses us as agents of judgment for himself. Isaiah is placing judgment on the children of Israel. He's announcing it. He's proclaiming it. He's telling them, God is doing something. Why don't you give up your trinkets and serve Him? No, I'd rather load my donkey down with a bunch of junk. I don't need God. Yeah, I've got ropes around my hand and I'm being led away captive and I'm suffering for the sin that I'm committing, but I'd rather have it. 70 years is your sentence, my friend. Can you live 70 more years? Maybe some of the teenagers. Maybe you got 70 more. I most likely don't. That's God's judgment. If you leave me as a nation, the scripture says the nation that forgets God will be turned into hell. Guess what? 70 year sentence. Being led away captive by another nation, your sister nation, one of your neighbors. But I don't want to go. I didn't ask. You're going whether you want to or not. 70 years. Look at your neighbor and say, that sounds like a long time to be a prisoner of war. Sounds like an awful long time. Because I can think back and I've read documents and I've studied. My grandpa that I never got to meet, he died when mom was a junior in high school, junior. He was a prisoner of war for 3.5 years in Japan, in the Philippine Islands during World War II. The entire World War II, he was a prisoner of war, the entire war. The first battle that was fought when they come over and they landed the planes in Hawaii, the next day they hit him in the Philippine Islands. Pearl Harbor happened one day. The next day, they hit Philippines. And my grandpa was there. And he spent from that day, 3.5 years later, until World War II is over, as a prisoner of war in a camp for 3.5 years. And I wish we could put images up. I don't have an image of him. But there's images out there on the internet. You could look up what 3.5 years of servitude as a prisoner of war will do to a human body. A lot of them were found 80 pounds. Big, burly, American young lads that had lived in abundance had wilted to nothing, Chuck. 3.5 years. This is 70 years. You're talking about 2 and 3 generations of people living in captivity to people that don't like God. They hated the children of Israel. It's no different today. If you've watched the news lately, you know what's happening. Right in October, they went over and they decided, we're going to take them on. Flying their little makeshift helicopters across through there and come in and kill people. Why? Because they don't have the same last name as me. Because they have a different nationality than me. Let's kill them because we don't like them. That's the world we live in. That's what sin brings, is death. It's awful. It's pitiful. It's sad. God does not like it when we kill each other. He's a God of restoration. Is that not what the song we sung a while ago? You restore. Will we allow him to do it, though? Will we allow him to restore us to his principles, his ways, his thoughts, being the chief and most important thing in our life? I don't know. Do I do it on a daily basis? Does every action and decision I make, Dusty, align with God's word? Or am I living for myself? Am I building my retirement? Do I have little trinkets at the house if somebody come and stole my precious little books that I have? Some of them Leslie's bought for me for my birthdays. Others, families sent down heirlooms that I have, Rick. And I consider them precious. And if you come and take them, I'm probably going to fight you. Why? Because they're precious. But what do they really matter in eternity? It means nothing. I know you didn't get his pizza. But in the grand scheme of things, Brittany, it really don't even matter. I mean, Dusty's going to be okay. It looks like he can live without a pizza for a day. You got it? You doubt it? Oh, he needs a pizza. If anybody wants to pony up, we'll take up offering for Dusty to get a pizza today if anybody wants to throw in. He told me I had to say something, Brittany. It wasn't. I'm usually team Brittany, but today I just was told I had to say that. I don't know. That's the best place I could fit it in. That's the best I could do. So, Dusty and Albie are, you know, according to the Bible, they are one because they're married, but they treat Brittany completely different. So, it's kind of weird. How can you be one if there's so much controversy in the same house? Animosity, yeah. Love you, Albie. Right. Yeah. Albie, you're not the boss of me, wherever you're at. You're not happening, Albert. Not today. Whew. I got to bring this thing to close. It's 11:24. Leslie says amen, if nobody else will. So vindication is God. His vindication is he will set things right. The pain and suffering and the hardships that we face, is it God's judgment upon us and our past sins that bring us current situations and things to endure? Absolutely. Because sin, the wages of it is death. But the gift of God is eternal life of salvation through Christ Jesus, though. Amen? So our salvation is bought through and by the blood of Jesus, and it alone. It's the only thing that can save us and should save us, and the only thing we can put our trust in. Now, you can go buy you a little Buddha. You can. You can go buy one. You can set it up on the shelf, and you can go over there and rub his little belly, make wishes. You can buy yourself a little lantern and go and polish it and make sure that the genie's going to come out and give me my three wishes today. These things sound absurd to us as a Christian, don't they? Because we look at it as an image of thinking it's something else that I'm not doing. But when in reality, our idols, you shall have no other gods before me. Let's lay it all at the foot of the cross and say, I give it all to you because I am nothing without you. Amen. That we have to give it all to God. And what will we carry away today? That's a decision we have to make. What am I going to load my camel with? What am I going to load my car with when we're taken captive? What's the most important things to me? I can tell you right now, the best thing you better take is this right here. Right, Chris? This good book contains all the answers to the problems and situations you find in life. And it's not fun looking at Isaiah. It's not fun reading Isaiah 46 and hearing about these idols and these things. And it's not easy to apply them to me because I can think, well, it was just Israel. That was 4,000 years ago. That's a whole other time frame. When in reality, God is saying Isaiah 46 is for you today. He gave us this word today for the Bridge Church and the Bridge people to hear this word. Have nothing before me. The prophet is speaking, have nothing before me. And that's not easy. And that's not fun as a preacher to have to stand here and say those things. Because I know I can't ask anything of you that I'm not asking of the me. Amen? And I got some stuff I got to lay down. Amen? Do you? Lay some things down and say, God, you are first. So, as a citizenry, I got to... This is the final conclusion of the whole thing today. So I bought this little book yesterday because Ryan took me to Cracker Barrel. How many loves Cracker Barrel? Man, that place is awesome. They got crackers. And if you know me, you know I like crackers. And when Ryan said, let's go to Cracker Barrel, and he said, I bet they got a barrel full of crackers. I was like, that's awesome. That's my place to eat. We're going up in there. I mean, I literally about wrecked pulling in the parking lot because he said it right at the time we was passing. We was driving down the road in Covington. I was like, slide in there sideways. And I'm an odd duck. I'll just tell you right now, I'm an odd duck. I know it. I know who I am. But, so I get there, and I do what I do. I back in. I back into my parking spot, and I'm there, and I'm thinking, well, if we get out of here, if we have to go on a run, and World War III breaks out, what do I want to do? I want the car pointing in the right direction. Amen? I'm not going to be backing out and wondering hitting somebody else. I'm going to be going forward. Amen? No need to back up. I'm weird like that. I'm just built that way. I can't help it. And we come walking out of Cracker Barrel yesterday, and when we walked out of there, and I looked, and everybody up and down the whole parking lot, there wasn't one car that was backed in. I told Ryan, I said, I'm the only weirdo backed in this parking lot. The only smart one. There you go. I like it. I'm with Eric. So, but, yeah, that's a good job, man. Right there with you. So we're in there, and our waiter does an awesome job. She didn't bring Dusty. He kind of got parched. She didn't bring him his Coke Zero on time. And Ryan was choking down some fish without tartar sauce. But, hey, I had my gravy and biscuits. And when I asked for crackers with my gravy and biscuits, she looked like, who in the world is this weirdo? Hey, man, that's just what it was. Serenity's her name. Serenity's awesome, in my opinion. I got coffee. I got water. Crackers. I had it all. But the thing was, I was piling it on. So the whole time I was talking to Serenity, I was just making conversation. And they looked at me kind of mean because Ryan was looking at me. I would have had my tartar sauce if you'd have shut up. You talked to her for 2 minutes after she was leaving. Forgot my tartar sauce. I just piling on Serenity. I just bragging on her. She's a young kid. 3 hours from home, going to Northern University. I can just tell this kid. I didn't say nothing about church much, did I, Dusty? Other than I invited her to come here and sing. She said, well, I don't go to church. And I said, that don't matter. Come on down. She said, well, I really need to. I'm not really religious, but I need to get involved in something. I was like, good. Come on down. I was bragging on Isabella, telling how awesome she is. If you've never been to any of the dramas, and I know all the kids are in drama. I mean, it's like if they ain't in drama club, they're in a lot of drama. It kind of comes with the territory. The teachers are saying amen if the kids won't. But I invited her. I said, man, you got to come and see these kids. She's like, Lewis County, where's that? I was like, honey, you have no idea. Come to the lines in the light and you'll see what we're made of. And if you've never been, I promise you, you need to make it there. That's next weekend. The teenagers, and they've practiced for months now. I don't even know what it's about, but I can tell you this, I can already tell you it's going to be amazing because I've been to 50 of them and I've seen every one of them, and it's always been amazing. And I sat there in awe like, wow, teenagers doing this?
And I invited Serenity, and I was like, Serenity, you need to come. She's like, well, I'm in, you know, my minor's in theater, and I'm doing this, and I can sing. And I said, you got to come, you got to come. She's like, well, that's my move-out day, and I have to get out of my thing. My family's coming in. And I said, I'll pay your gas money. And I handed her gas money, and she said, well, I guess I got to come now. I said, yeah, might as well. But Ryan said, well, if she don't come, she'll waste that money. You did? That's what he said, but he told me before she got there, so I had to use it against him. I wanted her to be my friend. I could care less about Ryan. She didn't bring no tarts. She wasn't getting no tip from Ryan, I'll tell you right now. So I gave her my allowance for the week. I gave her my allowance, and I was like, you need to come. And I said, but if you don't, Ryan said you'll probably go see your family, and you need to do that too. You see, that's the God kind of justice, that he gives you more than you deserve. And even if you squander some of it on yourself, even if you use it for your family, God up in heaven saying, it's okay, because I gave it to you because I love you. And I don't even know Serenity. I don't even know her last name, but I know it's her first name. But what if that one interaction from a Christian, when she's waiting on tables, and usually every Christian comes in there sour-faced and leaves a $1 tip, phooey on Christians like that. We can't be that way. Amen? We went to a restaurant right here a while back, and a group come in there, and they left a $1 tip for a 25-person. I think they need kicked in the chin. Amen. The anger of God will come out of me on stuff like that, because that is not right. That's not justice. So, Serenity told me, because I keep my constitution with me when we went yesterday for our, right? So Dusty and Ryan didn't have one. Put it down. They're afraid. They said don't carry this around with you because you'll get mugged. I got a constitution right here. I used to have another my grandma gave me when I was a little kid, and some poor soul told me how awful life had treated them, and they didn't have one, and I handed them one. My grandma's got her signature in the front page of my grandma Shirley that I think so much of, and I gave it to that person, and I don't even remember who it was. I just remember them giving me a sob story about them not having a constitution, and I had one from the early 40s that was really cool. I said, here you go. But think a lot of this signature in the front page of it, because it means a lot to me. But I couldn't hold on to that book because they were saying they didn't have one, Dusty. So I had this book all day yesterday, and Serenity's like, I had it laying out on the table because we was talking about Constitution and civil duty and what we ought to be doing as citizenry and blah, 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 blah. Ryan's sitting there like, this is stupid. I just want catfish. Shut up, man. Couldn't help myself. What'd you have, Dusty? Steak and chicken and mac and cheese with no crackers. So I was talking to Serenity about it. You know, I got my constitution with me. She's like, that's cool. I was like, you taking civics? Nope, not really. Listened to a podcast last week that said one in four Americans cannot tell you who we fought in the Revolutionary War. Think about this. But we got opinions, don't we? Do we place our opinions pretty highly? All right, so Dustin and Ryan, we always sat together. So Ryan, you're not Albie, you're Dust Ryan right now. So Serenity's like, we sell those. We sell those out front in Cracker Barrel. And I was like, Cracker Barrel sells the Constitution? So when we got out there to the front, you know how it is, everybody's out there digging around. And I was looking at Mr. Goodbars, that's what it wanted. It's $6 for a big Mr. Goodbar. It's what it's wanting. But I walked over and we found the constitutions, and I bought two of them to hand to Dusty and Ryan because I want them to have one. That's my friends. I'd already give Serenity money, but I want them to have that. So Leslie's going to, where my credit card bill comes, you'll see it. So I know you're going to find it. I'd rather say it to you all. You won't be as mean to me. I could have claimed it as Mr. Goodbar. Then I got real trouble for that. If I said it's Constitution, maybe she'll let me live. I don't know. But they had this other book, Stuff Every American Should Know. It was sitting right beside the Constitution. So I was like jealous. I was like, well, if they're getting a book, I'm buying a book. Right? I want something for myself. So they both got a Constitution. I got this, Chuck. Are you ready? Stuff every American should know. Everybody say that with me. Stuff every American should know. Okay. All right. Let's go to the back because that's the most important part. You always start the back. I can't, what's it called, dyslexic or something? I don't know. I go to the back and work my way back. That's why I read a magazine. It's kind of goofy. No, I'm not that weird. That's my brother. All the left-handers moaned right there. You heard that, didn't you? Are you? Okay, I'm holding this with my left. It's easier? Yeah, because the world's made against you, really. It's like a sheet of paper, the way Americans write. It's made wrong because Howie, I remember him, big smudges, and I remember Miss Brown writing Howie up because he'd smudge his paper when he write across on his hand. Okay, so we got to get finished here. Leslie's ready to go eat. So, okay, here's the questions. So now we're going to go through because this is what we have opinions. How many believes if a foreigner comes to America, they should pass the test to be an American citizen? All right. We're all in agreement, right? We believe foreigners come here, they should be able to pass the test. Here's the official test. This is the test. Okay, you ready? So, Joe Don, question number one. How many amendments does the Constitution have? Do 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 27. So the Constitution's been amended 27 times. So if you didn't know that, that's one strike, right? You only got 10 questions. So they each count for a lot. So now if I'm Andre Salvador from Honduras and I come to America and land on the island and I need to pass the test, Chuck, here it is. So, okay. What is the rule of law? The rule of law. Okay, here's the answer. Everyone must follow the law. Leaders must obey the law. Government must obey the law. No one is above the law. That's the answer wrote in this book. The law, like the judge I was talking about earlier. Accountable. Why? Because that's the rule of law. Okay. How many would have got that answer correctly? We had answers. I don't know if it would suffice. I think we Americans are pretty harsh on those foreigners when they land on there. Not good enough. Question number three. Name one of your U.S. senators. Ashley. One of your U.S. senators. So your citizenship because of birth, not because of knowing 10 questions. Mitch McConnell is a U.S. senator today. So that is one. Mitch McConnell is one of the senators, so that would be a correct answer. Number four, why do some states have more representation than other states? Okay. Off of population. Nice. Mylon told your mom, take credit yourself, man. Come on. Mylon, yes. Mylon's paid attention in class. That's good. The Federalist Papers supported the passage of the U.S. Constitution. Name one of its authors. Ben Franklin? No. Am I on the right question? Federalist Papers. I'm on number six. I was looking at number five. No, I'm getting better here. There's three, and those named thus far is not any of those three. So you just need to name one of them, one of the three authors of the Federalist Papers. Hey, could be. Why not shout it out, right? Think about this. This is what we require of others. No. James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, and John Jay. There's your three answers. So you needed to pick one of those. These are just things every American should know. I mean, it's not really all that much. What did Susan B. Anthony do? Women's right to vote.
Made a flag.
So when did women get the right to vote? Have they got the right to vote today? That's why Rick was wondering. I've even said it from the pulpit here before. I've stated this before because my great-grandmother got to vote once and then died after she had a baby, but 1920. Okay. That's not one of the questions. That's my trivia above the trivia. Okay, I need to pick on somebody else here. Val would make a good picker on her. Who was president during World War I? Okay, no need to know. No need to know this. Anybody on World War I president?
What year was it?
1917. Actually, it started before that, but then America got involved in 1917 after the 1916 election. Not Joe Biden. No, it's been a while. Yeah, it's World War III, as Brittany said. Woodrow Wilson. Name one of the two largest rivers in the United States, Dusty. You're going with Mississippi? What's the other one? Missouri. Hey, he's got two. Wayne's got two. He's digging through this stuff.
Leveled out.
Okay. Number 10, and I think everybody in the room will get this one. Why does the flag have 13 stripes? 13 colonies. Think about that. I think I would do okay on that test, even without the book. I think I don't know what percentage they require you to have. It don't really say in there, but I think I'd have done okay. But think about this. Think about that woman judge that we started this sermon with, okay? Follow me here, and we're done. She expected something of others that she didn't obey herself. And when we was hearing that story, we was all sitting here like, woohoo, the judge is going to jail. Right? Because a lot of times we don't feel like they get held accountable. But that cop didn't back off and say, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, I'll see you in court later. He said, I'm going to uphold the law because the law says you cannot do this. I don't care who you are. Right? So he held a standard, the rule of law that abides to everybody, and said, this is the standard I'm taking, even if it means I'm going to put the judge herself in a cop car and haul her to jail. And that's how we are as citizens, requiring this of a bunch of foreigners. Come on now. And I got to read one verse, and one verse, and I'm done. This is 11:45. Oh, my goodness, we're in trouble. Or we're not. I am. It's Micah. Let me find it. I know it's on here. Micah 6:8 is the verse. Micah 6:8. This is another prophet in the Old Testament. O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly before your God? See, justice isn't a thought. Justice is an action. So when you walk in the Mexican restaurant and they're waiting on you and they're serving you and they don't put lemon in your water, Leslie gets on me for this all the time. I try to portray myself as being somebody I'm not up here sometimes, because when I'm there and they don't bring me my cookie, not my fortune cookie, I'm talking about McDonald's now. Amen. Anybody ever griped about McDonald's down here? But we all roll through there and eat, don't we? So I go through there, and if I order my two chocolate chip cookies or my one apple pie, and then I get out of the line because Leslie's, go, or somebody behind you, ah! I'm like, I want to look through the bag. I want to make sure I got something in here. That's her, though. So we get driving off, and I'll say, okay, where's my apple pie? They didn't put one in there. And I'm like, I'm going to drive this truck through the side of that building. Does anybody have anger issues? Come on, somebody. Can we just be honest? But we're expecting something of somebody else. That if I was the one working in that line and they was paying me $2.16 an hour, I don't know how good a job I'd do either.
They forget your pie's a sign of going to diet, in my opinion.
Well, it's God done justice. I can't help it. So Micah says, Micah in this verse says, do justice. Walk humbly before God. I want our church to be known as the church, the bridge, that helps people get from where they are to where they need to be. And whatever that looks like, no matter how messy, how ugly, how messed up, dusty we are, I want you to come in here with a clean heart and a pure mind. And even if you sinned last week, even if you sinned before you get out of this building, that you know this place is a place where we can find God. And we can allow Him to work on me through this right here. This has to do its work. If I'm ever going to be just, Dusty, I have to read Isaiah 46 to say I'd probably have some things on my camel or my donkey or my car carrying a bunch of junk that God says, that's useless, that's stupid, why are you doing that? But He allows me to because that's who He is. He loves you unconditionally. Unconditionally, He loves you. And He wants a relationship with you because He wants you to do justice in our society and in our world. And let's leave this place a better place. Amen. Let's bow our head. Father God, we thank You so much. God, for this book of Isaiah that You've given us. And God, as we look through and we read and we study and we try to understand and we listen and we come to these services, God, that You are merciful and You are mighty. God, that there is none like You. That You're all powerful, that You're all knowing, that You're everywhere. God, I pray that this engrafts in our heart. God, that we would hear this word today, that You're asking us to do justice. God, that we wouldn't require things of others that we won't do ourselves. And God, that we would help each other and lean on each other and discuss these things that we face in this life. And Lord, as we face sin and we try to lay things down and the burdens are on our shoulders, God, I pray that You would lighten the load today in this place. That God, people in this room would make decisions to chase after You, to lay aside these filthy envy, bitterness, destruction, all these things that we do on a weekly basis. Let us lay them down at Your feet. So that we can be more just to our neighbors. That we could be like You. That we could show love and mercy, tenderheartedness and kindness and love and peace. Because that's what our world needs. God, help this not just be a sermon, but help this to be actions in our lives. That the people in this room will walk out today deciding to be different. And to walk in it. That their words would become actions. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.